Today's sermon comes from Psalm 13. Before I read it, there's one thing I want to explain to you about this psalm. This psalm is probably the best example of what's called a song of lament in the scriptures. A psalm of lament is a psalm that cries out to God. And I want to talk about all the details that David, as he cries out in this psalm, so that you can see what's here. But let me read it first. Psalm 13 in its entirety. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. All of us have a time in our life where it seems like things are not going the best for us. That it's a struggle or it's a very down time. It's a time that's of hurt and of pain. And I know that there are some that are not so willing to come to God and open their heart so fully and just lay it all out there. In this psalm, David does that. David lays this out completely and totally, what he's going through, what's happening for him, how he's struggling, how he's having problems, how his feelings are really all the way down in the pits of life. My major professor in seminary was from the Middle East, or Middle Eastern part of the country. And he used to say to us that sometimes you get so far down that you feel lower than the snake's belly in a wagon rut. And maybe you felt that way before. You could not possibly get any lower in life. You could not possibly go down any further, and the hurt and the pain was there. And I wish I could tell you that most people will turn to God and lay all that out. Most folks won't. There's this theology, which is a bad theology, by the way, that says whatever comes my way is God's will and I just have to accept it. That's a bad theology. That's not what David's doing here. He's not accepting what's going on. He's laying it all out before God. And he's calling God out. He's basically saying, God, you said, and you haven't. Now, I know some of you would say, well, you can't say that to God, because lightning will come from heaven and strike you dead. Okay, gotten close, but I'm not dead. There are many times that I have come to God and I have laid my whole heart open and explained every hurt and pain and anguish I have in the depth and the way that I feel, in the words that are necessary, and just laid it all out there and said, God, this ain't right. Yeah, I use the word ain't, I know. For those of you that are English teachers, I'm sorry, but it's a word. It's in the dictionary. I've checked. I want to look at what David does, because David laments about three different things. He laments about a broken relationship with God. He laments about an internal struggle that he has. and he relents about enemy problems. Okay? A broken relationship. David laments about a broken relationship with God, an internal struggle, and enemy problems. Now let's talk about these three separately. David feels like God's not doing what God should be doing. And David tells God so. David tells God, listen, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? David says, you're not right there. You're not present in the way that I think you should be. You're not open to me. You have hidden your face from me. Where are you, God? I need you. Now, I know some of you grew up and this is not how you talk to God. But you got to be honest with me. There's sometimes you feel like this is happening. Something has happened in your life and you have gone, where is God in this? God, you didn't protect me like you said you would. God, you weren't there when I needed you to lift me up. God, you weren't there loving on me. You weren't there helping me. You weren't there guiding me. I didn't hear your wisdom. God, be present to me. Show your face. Stop hiding. There's nothing wrong with praying like this. This is not the only example in the Scripture. One of the things that I find very real, especially about the book of Psalms, and one of the reasons I'm in it every day, sometimes multiple times a day, is because every human emotion that is possible is found in the Psalms. The emotion of lament, where, oh, I can't stand the way it's going, God. It's there. Now, some of you may say, I've never been in that place in my life. My prayer for you is that I hope you never will be. I have been that place in my life. More than once in my life. And there have been times where things have happened in the ministry that I have said, God, where were you? Why did this happen? Now, I want you to stick with me. Don't check out today. I want you to stick with me because I want you to see as we get to the end of the psalm what happens when people are willing to open their hearts like this. The second thing that David is struggling with is, how long must I wrestle with my own thoughts, my internal thing that's going on? You've heard me, guys, you've heard me talk about it. I have OCD. Or shall I say I have CDO? If you get that. If you don't, write down CDO and you might see it. Obsessive compulsive disorder. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. Or if you don't believe her, ask my children. Because when I finally understood that I had OCD, and I went and talked to my children about it and apologized for some of the wrong things I had done and what it had caused me to do uncontrollably, all three of my kids looked at me and said, Dad, we know. I didn't need to read a book on it. They could have told me. It causes me to overthink things. It causes many things to happen. It causes 10 trains to be running in my head all at the same time, all in different directions, all on different tracks, thankfully. Sometimes they switch over and on the same track, and sometimes they're just going on so much that I can't pay attention to what's happening right now. Okay? Believe me, it's happening. It's also called, in case you've never heard it called this, it's also called monkey brain. You ever seen how monkeys act? Here, there, here, there, here, there, up, down, down. Monkey brain. You guys call it whatever else you want. David says, I got a problem with that. There's an internal struggle going on here, and I can't straighten it out. I'm having problems. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long? Believe me, there are days that I just go, Lord, can you stop it for 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes apiece some days. Just so I can be present for a moment. It's not always easy. Fortunately, there are some good times where it does happen. But sometimes I have to come and say, God, I'm having this same internal struggle that David talks about. It's hard. It's tough. And then the third thing that he talked about is his problems with his enemies. I know, you guys don't have any enemies, do you? I've had Christian people tell me, I don't have any enemies, and I've had Christian people tell me, I don't hate anybody. What about the third telemarketer? Maybe not the first, maybe not the second, but what about the third telemarketer during dinner? Do you hate that person? What about the person that cuts you off on the interstate? The jury's up here going, huh? Lisa, brother, thank you for being honest. We have people that don't want us to succeed as Christians. And one of the reasons they don't want us to succeed is because then they can prove that the way that we're walking is not right. And they might design a way to test you. Just so they can feel better about themselves. You see, all these struggles are real. All of us have them. Every one of these that David talks about here. God, where are you? God, I can't deal with my own thoughts. God, there's people out to get me. Look at what David does next. David asks for God to look at him, to answer him, and to give him light. David says, God, look at me. Look at me. Shine your face upon me. Turn your face toward me so that I can see you. Look at me. Answer me. Tell me what's going to happen in these situations. Give me guidance. Give me insight. Give me wisdom. Give me light so that I can see the path in front of me. David not only cries out his problems and his issues that are hurting him and causing him great pain, but he says, God, give me the wisdom to get through them. Turn your face toward me. You remember, those of you who remember raising kids, sometimes all they want you to do is look. Sometimes all they want you to do is pay attention. That's it. This is what David's doing here with God. God, just look at me. Pay attention. Just look at me. I feel left out. Look at me. Give me an answer. Show me. Give me the light that I need. And then David gives his greatest fear here in this prayer. David's afraid he'll die. And his enemies will rejoice at his death. Verse 4, my enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fail. His greatest fear. He's willing to speak about it. He's willing to share about it. In these first four verses, David does what I try to help people do when they come in for counseling. To truly admit what's bothering them, to ask for God's help, and to express the fears that they have from this day onward. so that I can then say, how are we going to deal with it? What are we going to do? Tell me what scares you the most. David says, what scares me the most is that I will die and my enemies will rejoice over that, saying, see, he followed God and it didn't work out. And David's willing to admit it. Being willing to admit that you have a problem is always the first step. For Alcoholics Anonymous, it goes like this. I admit that I have a problem and that my life is unmanageable because of my alcoholism. Are you willing to admit because of something in your life becomes unmanageable? I had to come before God and say, God, I admit that I have a problem with OCD, and the OCD causes my life to become unmanageable. It took over. It's difficult. I'm thankful for some ways that I've learned to deal with it. I'm thankful for some medication that helps me. I'm thankful. But I had to admit that that was a problem. Because if I don't admit it's a problem, why do I need to get that fixed? If I didn't ever admit it that I had a problem with alcohol, why do I need to stop? You know what most alcoholics say? Oh, I can stop anytime I want to. My life had become unmanageable twice in my life because of alcohol. And I had to admit both times that that was a fact. See, David's willing to admit these things. He's willing to open up about them. He's willing to share them. Now, here's what I want to show you what happens because David is willing to admit that. Yet, David declares his trust in God's unfailing love and rejoices in God's salvation for him. He opened his heart up and he put his finger on everything that hurt and everything that was painful and everything that he didn't feel was right and all of his fears and concerns. And Lord, it's all going on, but yet, I trust in your faithfulness. I don't have to trust in mine. I trust in God's faithfulness. Verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. You know what? No matter what goes on, I always know two things for sure. If things are in the bottom of the pit and I'm underneath of it somehow, you can't take away my birthday. And you can't take away my salvation. Amen. Even in the bottom of the pit, I still get a birthday, don't I? If you're not sure about that, pull your license out and look at it. It's still on there, the date. Okay? Got confirmation for that. I've also got confirmation that God is always loving me. No matter what's going on, no matter where I find myself, no matter how low I am in the wagon rut, God loves me. God's unfailing love will always bring me salvation. Always. Now, this is what I want you to see. David was willing to open his heart up completely and say, Lord, here it is in all of its ugliness. And God helped him come to a point where he says, I rejoice in your unfailing love and in your salvation. That is one of the great things, and that's why I'm in the Psalms every day. That is one of the great things about the Psalms. just about every one of the Psalms that starts with any kind of throwing things out there saying, I don't get it, God, comes to the end of the psalm and says, oh Lord, but yet I can trust in your unfailing love and I can trust in your salvation. If you're not willing to admit what the problems are that are happening, if you're not willing to admit the aches and the pains that you have, if you're not willing to call out to God and say, God, where are you? You may never get to the place where you can go, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the incredible, unfailing love that you have for me, and that your love doesn't depend upon how I feel. Because when you're in the bottom of the wagon rut under the snake's belly, you don't feel like God loves you, do you? The truth is, God still loves you. That fact has never changed. That got solved in Jerusalem on a cross. And that fact has never changed. No matter what goes on or what happens in your life. No matter. Now, verse 6 is not part of David's prayer. It is not part of David's prayer at all. The first 5 verses, that's the kind of joy you need to have. Right? That's the kind of joy we should have no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on. Verse 6, David changes who he's talking to. The first 5 verses is a prayer to God, and then verse 6, he says, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David's now telling other people how good God has been. David's telling them. No matter that he don't feel it, that he don't get it, that things are a problem, things are a pain, he's lamenting, he's complaining to God, he's asking God where he says, but I'm going to go out and tell people how loving God is. Even though it doesn't seem like it's working at this moment, I'm going to tell them. Because I know it for a sure fact. Folks, I struggle at times here. And sometimes I get pretty low. I wish I could tell you that goes completely away. But it doesn't always. But the thing is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to come and talk to God about it, or are you going to try to fix it yourself? Because let me explain to you, you can't fix it yourself. You've got to acknowledge that it's there. You've got to talk to God about it. And you've got to say, God, I need your wisdom, your help, your guidance. I need to know your love in a bigger way. Can't tell you how many times I've sat at my desk and I've said, God, I need to see a sign today very clearly, very obvious that you love me. Now, some of you might say that's a little bold. But I don't have any problems praying that way. And God doesn't have any problems answering that prayer. God shows. God turns his face toward me and I see it. And I rejoice in that moment. And it's like absolutely incredible. Does it change where I am? Not really. But in that moment, I see how much God loves. And it's because I was willing to start at a place where I was willing to open it up and say, I got problems. I know some of you might say, well, I've never been an alcoholic. Praise God for that. But I will tell you this, you've had a problem with something. You've had a problem with something. Hi, my name's Tim. I'm a sinner. Would you introduce yourself that way? Because we're all sinners, aren't we? Hi, my name's Tim. I'm a sinner. I got problems. I know some of you are going to tell me afterwards, yeah, we know you got problems. My kids love to tell me that sometimes. Do you fully open your heart to God? Do you fully open your heart and cry out to God about your pains? I'm sad to tell you, I met a gentleman one day that he had lots of problems and issues. And I asked him, I said, have you shared these with God? He said, no. And I said, why not? He said, God's got a lot of things to take care of, and my problems are really small, so I never share them. And I said, I think God can handle it. And God just wants you to acknowledge. Yes. These are the issues. These are the problems I got. Help me, God. That's the incredible thing. If all of us were to start praying right now aloud, all at the same time, do you realize that God would hear each individual person for what you prayed? Even though we're all talking at the same time. And God would reach down and want to help you. Because God loves you. Are you willing to open your heart and just let it cry? But sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes that's all you can do. But the path that I see in the Psalms, the people that cry out by the end of their prayer, they're at a place. Praise God for God's unfailing love. Praise God for God's faithfulness. Praise God for salvation that I've been given, even though I don't deserve it. Praise God. It starts with a heart that's willing to be open. Let's pray. Lord, this is not easy. Because sometimes we can say that, yes, Lord, we want to slow down enough that we can speak to you with every concern of our hearts. But yet, Lord, we find ourselves too busy sometimes to stop, to let go, to speak the truth about what's going on for us, about where we are and how it hurts, about our fears and what we're concerned about. Sometimes, Lord, we think you're too busy to even spend time with us. But the truth is, you overwhelmingly love us, and you want to hear us open our hearts so that you can heal, help, and guide. Lord, help us to follow David's path, that we might see as we lament to you, that you finally bring us to a place where we can praise you for what you're doing in our lives, even when things aren't going the best. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.